Cash, as we get older, you realize quickies are good things, and we got a quickie today. Recording this Thursday evening, NFL draft tonight, so a lot's going to change. So we're looking at closing sentiment here as, you know, pre-draft drafting is over. So we're just looking at the biggest risers and fallers to date. This will still be a good exercise, even if you're listening to this after the draft. Obviously, a lot's going to change over the next few days. A lot's going to change. A lot. But it's still good to take a check on, you know, what the market was doing heading into the draft and what players were moving, how much they're moving. So that is our purpose here today. How are we feeling? You excited for tonight?
Yep, excited for tonight. But no, I think that this absolutely is important because a lot of what we've been seeing within the market over the last month is just that the market's just being extremely over-exuberant, specifically for all the rookies. I've never seen anything like it where literally every single rookie is going up. I think that a big part of that is the content dynamic. Like Underdog, a lot more content creators providing profile and prospect videos, and you know everybody feels bubbly and tickled about the rookies going in, but the end result ends up being that some of these rookies are going to have bad landing spots, some are going to have good. There's going to end up being impacts to particular situations that we didn't see, and that's what makes this exciting. But focusing on the closing sentiment specifically for all players not named rookies can be valuable because we can start to get an understanding where they can potentially continue to go once Best Ball Mania launches, whether that ends up being to the upside or the downside.
Okay, we can jump right into it here. We're going to start with 15 biggest risers over the past 7 days.
I want to hit one thing on the recap on the big board, Josh.
Yeah, get in there.
Big board ended up filling in 82 days, and it was an average fill rate per day, 2,722 entrants, 1.22% per day. And again, this isn't a reflection of contests filling slower. This was just solely a reflection of the contest being bigger compared to the big board last year. And I gotta say this. This is just one of the funniest ADPs that I've seen so far this year. Just as I'm tracking ADPs, Marshawn Lynch, obviously, I mean, like no one had been drafting Marshawn Lynch because Marshawn Lynch has been out of the league, now for years. And it just so happens that on big board close, which was 420, Marshawn Lynch just popped up. So I personally had a good nerdy chuckle about it. Just thinking about good old Joe, all stoned up on the couch, deep in the cushions, and just was thinking,
or Joe knows,
bro,
something.
I'm gonna full on send this shit and get just conclude the big board by getting unique.
It could have just been Marshawn himself
getting back to beast mode
on 420. I could see that.
Oh, absolutely.
Drafting himself, I could see that.
In his backyard on a golf cart, just burning down the trees. But no, I saw Marshawn pop up with an ADP on of course 420, which just so happened to be when big board closed. And I got a good laugh to myself.
That was funny. Okay, so, 15 biggest risers past 7 days, excluding rookies. Then we're going to get into fallers as well, and a couple other segments just to look at guys who've only been rising or falling in the past 5 days that aren't including in these bigger segments. So to kick it off, biggest riser past 7 days, again, excluding rookies, Curtis Samuel. And most of these, pretty small move. Like you said, the rookies are taking up most of the movement here. So Curtis Samuel, biggest mover of the past 7 days, and that move was only 4.4 spots. But he's up into round 8 right now. Speculation, Bills are probably going wide receiver in round 1, but still pushing Curtis Samuel up the board. Thoughts there on Curtis Samuel?
We might as well, let's group Khalil Shakir to him as well at 3. He ended up being up 3 spots over the last 7 days. And this is just solely a reflection of the market continuing to react to Stephon Diggs getting shipped out, and the ADP and the pricing for the situation overall not being reflective of whoever the all likeliness draft drafted player that they end up landing, you know, that the situation is not reflecting that. Fully expect that they end up probably drafting a wide receiver within the first round, and whether it's the first round or the second round, you're going to end up seeing this start to come back to life. And Curtis Samuel, I mean, maybe you can make an argument. I think that's still like what, as we look towards the future with Best Ball Mania, that a price tag on the 8-9 turn, like maybe that is fine. Like Curtis Samuel's been productive, but Khalil Shakir, like, you know, I'm not trying to buy into Khalil Shakir at a ADP of round 10, but both those prices seem rich, and I would expect after they draft a wide receiver that both are going to fall again.
Darius Slayton was in there. He bumped up a few spots. He was the second biggest riser. He was all the way down in round 20, though. Just the uncertainty around the Giants wide receiver core. Some people looking for some deep value there. A few spots down more, Dontavian Wicks. He rose a few spots. He's in the round 12 now. And we talked about the Packers last time. A lot of ambiguity there in the receiver core. And Wick showed that he could play last year. So some people expecting him to, you know, emerge as maybe even a bigger component of that offense as well. So, you know, we'll see if he remains sticky there. And again, I mean, he showed he could make plays last year. So I think he will have a role in that offense, even if it's just as a number three. It could be a high powered offense.
Yeah. Break the Slayton at two. I don't think that he actually showed up to volunteer. I don't know if it was a volunteer camp or meetings or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that he didn't show up. And obviously, if they end up drafting a wide receiver, like Darius Slayton's value ends up declining. But, I mean, it's a 20th round pick. And as when we talked about the Green Bay wide receivers last week, Josh, talked about just trying to be able to figure that out. I have found myself drafting Dontavian Wicks because that ends up being the within big board, and if it ends up carrying over into Best Ball Mania, that end up being the range where I felt like it got a little bit slimmer, where there wasn't a big difference between a lot of those running backs compared to later running backs. And Wicks, it's just a pure price play compared to the other three wide receivers. I mean, there's three wide receivers on that team that are being drafted before him, and I think that you could end up making a case that Wicks could end up being the guy that ends up emerging out of that core of wide receivers.
Geno Smith, he's up a couple spots in the round 15. Here, you know, he kind of just got buried deep down there, still QB 26 off the board, but people started scooping him up. Recently, we talked about receiver core last time, and they did bring in Sam Howell, but hey, Geno, he posted a picture that he's still running like 22 miles per hour. I thought it was Photoshopped there. I don't know if you saw that. I don't even know how that's possible.
I did not.
But
go him.
Yeah, so good for Geno. For now, you know, still the starter there. Hopefully he can hang on. Raheem Mostert, this is an important one, you know, because a couple of the guys we talked about so far have been later round guys, but Mostert here in round 7, RB21 off the board. You know, we both said we like him. We think he's a value, even though he's freaking 32 or however old he is, but hey,
he doesn't have a lot of wear on the tires, man. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I just had an extreme heavy workloads before his time in Miami.
Yep. So not surprised to see him rising here a little bit, up a couple spots. Tyler Lockett, we did mention him last time, just you know, older wide receiver who can still get it done. And I thought about that too. I do see Tyler Lockett as someone who, he's just so skilled, like his ball catching skills. He's a veteran. Even if he is like a firm number three, if JSN overtakes him in round 9 now for Tyler Lockett, I could see his age, his game aging well and still, you know, filling a role there, especially in round 9. So I don't mind some Tyler Lockett once again. Jahan Dotson, here we go. Round 12, he's up 2.2. And we both said we liked him. Nice value compared to where he was going last year for sure.
Yeah, those four guys were all guys that we really hit on within the last episode. When you get to that cluster of running backs within the 7-8 turn, and when Raheem Mostert was just really going within the 8th round, like, it's not even so much of him being a popping value within that group as you get into the ambiguity and uncertainty. It's more so just of the overall gap between him and A-Chain. I mean, A-Chain being A-Chain being within the second round, and then Mostert being all the way down, you know, six rounds later. And you were starting to see Mostert starting to pop his head out of that grouping of ambiguous running backs on that 7-8 turn. And then talked a lot about specifically the Seattle guys. Geno Smith, Tyler Lockett. Geno Smith, again, QB 26 down six rounds compared to last year. And I'm very confident at this point that this situation with him and Tyler Lockett being on here, we're going to end up getting to DK Metcalf at all. This entire situation is solely being priced down because it ended up being a disappointment last year, and then also just the uncertainty, which I do believe is going to be short-term tied to quarterback and Sam Howell. Who's going to end up being the starter? Is it going to be Geno Smith? Is it going to be Sam Howell? And once that certainty really starts to rise to the top, Josh, where it's like Geno Smith is going to be the quarterback, then this situation, like, it almost kind of reminds me of the San Francisco 49ers last year, where, like, you didn't know, like, you know, is Brock Purdy 100% going to be the guy, because you didn't know this early on within the draft season, and then you just really started to see that situation overall really start to rise collectively, and that really stemmed with the quarterback. I see Geno Smith kind of being similar to Brock Purdy from that perspective. I'm feeling good about right out of the gates, Seattle, going to Seattle. And it's just like we said, like, I don't, this is actually a situation, and again, with Grubb being the offensive coordinator there now, this is a situation where I don't feel the need, where even though Geno Smith could continue to rise, that I need to have Geno Smith, that I can just really heavily stack the team without him. I feel good about that. So, and then Jahan Dotson, just like you said, there's two players that fall within the category of being loved by the industry last year. The collective consensus being that they are talented prospects. And that is Christian Watson on the 8-9 turn, who is down four to five rounds compared to last year. And then Jahan Dotson, who's down seven rounds compared to his concluding Best Ball Mania ADP last year. And Jahan Dotson, I love Jahan Dotson after Rashid Shaheed is gone within that range when you're looking at wide receiver.
Baker Mayfield has been a steady riser so far this year in drafts, up a couple spots in the past 7 days. He's QB 21 off the board right now in round 13. Debo Samuel gets he's moved up a couple spots here in round two, maybe a little bit wondering if Ayuk's going to be there or not. Still some trade rumblings around Ayuk, so maybe Debo getting the benefit of that. But he's just up a couple spots in the past week. But again, we're talking about a round two player, so that is significant. C.J. Stroud continues to rise, up a little bit more. QB4 off the board right now. Man, the Texans hype this offseason is just going to be it's going to be hot.
Yes.
So C.J. Stroud, steady riser, just. Again, into QB4 off the board at round five right now. We talked about those round five quarterbacks, him, Richardson, and Mahomes. So, the hype is real for the Texans for sure. Are we allowed to talk about Adam Thielen now?
Before we talk about Adam Thielen, the two things that I'll say specifically about Debo Samuel. One, regardless of if Brandon Ayuk ends up being traded, which it sounds like it's increasingly likely as the NFL draft approaches. I think that a part of this too is not just tied to the potential that Ayuk ends up getting traded, but just that situation overall in the market gravitating towards it. When you're talking about that cluster of wide receivers that's on that 2-3 turn, that's like, you know, you're trying to decide between the Houston guys, between Chris Olave, like, you can go a lot of different directions. I personally find myself going to Debo, and if Ayuk ends up getting shipped, a big priority for me right out of the gates for Best Ball Mania, trying to find Debo, trying to find George Kittle, but George Kittle really being the value piece within that particular construction, and thinking about Brock Purdy. You take away, whether they draft another wide receiver or not, you just consolidate that volume with the chemistry coupled with Brock Purdy, and that's a priority for me thinking about San Francisco out of the gates. And C.J. Stroud, I'm just going to say it again, I don't think that this is going to be similar to Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence type sentiment where you see him fall to the 6-7 turn like they did the previous 2 years when they were priced on that 4-5 turn. Just because You have Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell that are all being drafted before him. And that's just a lot of stickiness to be tied to those correlating pieces. For, I mean, you have to fall off multiple cliffs to fall multiple rounds. And I just don't know if that will end up happening, even after the Stephon Diggs hype and the overall situation hype starts to die down for Houston. All right, like you can hit him.
Adam Thielen, he moved up a little bit. He's in round 14 right now.
But he was down 19 spots overall for the contest. So
for context, yeah. Jared Goff, up a little bit over the past 7 days, in round 10, QB 14 off the board. Michael Mayer, up a couple more spots. He's been a big riser pre-draft in these underdog contests.
Up 29 spots in total for the tournament.
Yeah, so in round 14, we talked about the drop-off in tight ends in that range where you're just kind of looking for guys that you know are going to be, be the guy. And he's one of the last few.
Year two upside.
Yeah, and he's one of the last few that, like, you know, he's got that job and there's potential of improvement and getting better. Mike Williams, steady riser since joining the Jets in round 8. Still wide receiver 46 off the board. You talked about that range of wide receivers. It can be scary. The risk,
you got to be aware of that.
I think we both said, to me, he was the first one that jumped off the page. It was like, yeah, I'm just not going to have, as of right now, I'm not going to have any Mike Williams. We'll see. I don't really see that changing, but and probably tonight, the draft, you know, if they grab someone there as well. So
I think a part of that, too, is like, within that particular range within drafts, because you had that density of running backs within that 7 to 8 turn where there's 7 running backs being drafted within the 8th round, then it's just like, okay, some of those teams need wide receivers, and it just kind of became almost lazy by the market and arbitrary to gravitate towards Mike Williams, who was towards the top. But like you were going to say, I mean, they end up drafting Odunze or one of these rookie wide receivers, man, yeah, or any pass catcher, then Mike Williams, you're gonna see his ADP really start to pull back. And then number 16, I just wanted to be able to include him here, even though we're only hitting the top 15, Josh, because it is Dalton Kincaid. And again, just when you think about it, Curtis Samuel number 1 on this list, Khalil Shakir number 3 on this list, Dalton Kincaid number 16 on this list. This is just overexuberance of the market, reflecting solely the departure of Stephon Diggs and the inefficiency of not pricing in what's in all likeliness going to be an additional pass catcher. And I did want to mention Dalton Kincaid too, that, you know, if they don't end up drafting somebody, there is a chance that I think he's overpriced, but looking at objectively through the lens of the market, being tied to Josh Allen, there's a chance that he could actually end up being sticky, just because drafters that do take Josh Allen within the 3rd, 4th round, they just want to be able to stack him, and they take the first pass catcher, which is Dalton Kincaid, who ADP has continued to go up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if they do draft someone, because I agree, I haven't been interested in him right now. We've talked about that range at tight end. But if they do draft someone and he starts to slide back to where, I mean, he's been up 20 spots from the big board since it started. So if he starts to slide back more closer to where he started, I'm sure he won't go all the way. But if he start, you know, George Kittle starts coming up, Kincaid starts falling back out of that Andrews range, then I'd start to be more interested in Kincaid's second year breakout. So that'll be a really important one to watch. Some guys who are not on that list but have risen each of the past 5 days, all names that I think are important in drafts here. So just to read them off, Cortland Sutton, DK Metcalf, Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle, and Jelani Woods. So the first four, obviously, notable wide receivers, even Cortland Sutton, you know, down in round 9, just because of where he's going and just that situation overall. I mean, right now he's the wide receiver 1 if he plays for the Broncos or whatever. But, Jelani Woods then rounding out this list in round 20 as right now the starting tight end for the Colts. But, you said before the show, Jalen Waddle, you got the tingle. I said the first draft I did, he's the one that jumped out at me just because last year was so weird. So I like where he is going, but starting to rise up a little bit. He did jump 13 spots basically since the big board opened. So the market was on it, but wide receiver 20 right now off the board Any thoughts on him or Olave, Metcalf, Sutton?
Potential rumblings. I don't know the validity of it that Courtland Sutton potentially could get traded to the Steelers. That would end up being a little bit crazy. Reunite with Russell Wilson and that chemistry. DK Metcalf, again, I mean, you're talking about the Seahawks situation down the stretch here. You have Tyler Lockett, Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, all over the last 5 days rising. And it's just a situation that I like. I like the particular construction. You find yourself within that middle of the third type round. And I like DK Metcalf over a lot of those particular players. And you're able to stack that entire situation relatively easy right down the middle of the board, in the middle of the seventh round, JSN, in the middle of the ninth round, Tyler Lockett, etc. And Jalen Waddle. I love everybody that listens to this particular podcast. Have so much appreciation for all of you. But respectfully, if you are in my draft rooms within Best Ball Mania, stay away from Jalen Waddle, because I'm going to be targeting Jalen Waddle aggressively, pending that they don't draft an early wide receiver. Jalen Waddle, man, like, if they don't draft an early wide receiver, Jalen Waddle, early flag plant for me on the best ball season. Chris Olave, I think overpriced like he was last year.
Yeah, would rather have Jalen Waddle, a couple other guys we talked about previously too. Yeah, Waddle last year just felt like you know, just a fluky year. It felt like a classic setting them up for a nice bounce back this year. So
it goes back to what we talked about with, like, there are certain situations that I just want to target one of, and it's just like trusting the coaching staff. I think that we can do that with Mike McDaniel, and then also too what we talked about, where, you know, year over year variance in ceiling outcomes, it's not reflective of itself for individual players within situations. You can end up seeing that variance just go to different players. And Chris Olave, we know he has that ceiling. We know that variance can go that way, go his way, because we know that he does have that ceiling potential. And God, I want to say one more thing about some of these players, but it escaped me. If I think about it, I'll end up coming back, just because the fallers aren't nearly as fun here.
Biggest fallers, yeah, and starting it out with the beef. Zeke. So Zeke was rising a little bit, but, you know, falling 7.7 spots over the past 7 days, down in round 18. We'll still see, you know, what ends up happening with him. Gus Edwards, go ahead. You got something on the beef?
I don't have anything on the beef. We know what that is. I mean, at one point it was 90-10, quickly went to 80-20, and it's continuing to go more fat to lean beef ratio. What I wanted to say just specifically about Chris Olave, I think that Chris Olave is just like a great example of great player. Great for dynasty, great for season long, a guy that you're just going to be able to plug in there. He's going to be consistent. I question this particular price tag within best ball. He didn't even have 1 week last year over 20 points.
Yeah, I agree.
Crybaby Carr effect.
It's a problem. He's a problem. Gus Edwards, a huge riser throughout, you know, the big board after the signing with the Chargers, but that's, you know, they signed Dobbins and they could even draft another guy. So the past 7 days, he's down a few more spots. Right now in round 11, I feel like it could be shaping up to be a committee in Los Angeles with the Chargers. But right now, him and Dobbins.
I'll be so pissed if they end up drafting Corum. If Corum goes to the Charger and it turns into like Gus Edwards, they have Dobbins, and then you have Corum. That's like, I originally I was thinking, oh, like maybe I do it. He reunites with his coach. But after they sign Dobbins, I just don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, and even if it's like a day two or three guy, I mean, you're going against Dobbins and Gus Edwards. So that dude, you know, he's still live to steal plenty of work with those two guys there. So could be a messy situation with the Chargers. Jaleel McLaughlin, he's sliding a little bit. Overall, still up throughout the big board, but last 7 days, he is down 4.8 spots. He's in round 14, running back 46 off the board. The running back for the Broncos, Josh Reynolds, with the Broncos as well. He was sliding, a big faller through the big board.
What's potential upside, Josh, other than actual like usability? Jaleel McLaughlin going within the 14th round. That's like you're drafting Jaleel McLaughlin because you think he can provide production throughout the entirety of the season because he gets like eight touches a game or whatever. Yeah. But his overall upside, if something is to happen to Javonte Williams, his overall upside is less than a guy like Izzy Abonikanda,
yes.
Tank Bigsby, if Tank Bigsby ends up being the number two. And that's where it's like, for me, it's hard to be able to justify a 14th round price tag on a guy like Jaleel McLaughlin. And it kind of comes down to how you're building, but compared to some of those running backs that are going later.
Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb started to fall a little more here, another 4.2 spots in the red. He's down the running back 28. Just the uncertainty continues over.
Stay away early within Best Ball Mania.
Yeah.
Just stay away.
34 spots throughout the big board. So that slide continued there down the stretch into round 9. Quentin Johnston, he continued to slide 4.2 spots in the past 7 days into round 13. Talked about the Chargers situation. So
how ugly is that going to get for Quentin Johnston ADP? The sentiment already down the stretch here is that the market is avoiding Quentin Johnston with literally no other competition there other than Joshua Palmer. So the point where the market is drafting Joshua Palmer over second year Quentin Johnston, how ugly is it going to get if they end up drafting like Malik Nabers or Odunze within the first round? Quentin Johnston, his pricing will not be sticky out of the gate.
Yeah, just the disappointment last year doing nothing, just really, you know, sticking with people. So they want no part of that. Greg Dortch is, he's down over the past 7 days, round 19 guy. I mean, there's talks of the Cardinals, and I would not be surprised at all if the Cardinals, you know, take multiple wide receivers in this draft.
They got a lot of picks, man. I didn't realize how many picks they have.
Yeah, so they could be adding multiple receivers, obviously probably getting a stud.
Loving the desert builds out there.
Yeah. Yep. You know, Kyler jumped out at first, and I'm just starting to like it more and more overall, so we'll see what they can do. I hope the Patriots don't snipe them, take Marvin Harrison. That would really be, that would suck if something like that happened. But Greg Dortch sliding again. Tank's Bigsby, another round 19 guy. He's down a few spots over the past 7 days. He's been a steady faller in the early drafts. Alexander Mattison, another steady faller. He's down to round 18 right now, down almost 27 spots in the big board. Austin Eckler sliding. Down another 3.5 into round 9. He's running back 30 off the board.
I'll pick him between him and Brian Robinson pretty much. Austin Eckler ended up concluding his ADP very, very close to Brian Robinson. But, I mean, it's pretty much going to be a pick him between those two. And I'm actually just half-point PPR at this point. And age and everything else, I'm leaning towards Robinson.
Russell Wilson sliding some more, 3.4 spots in the past 7 days into round 18, QB 30 off the board. We mentioned last time Justin Fields still going ahead of him, even though presumably Russell Wilson will be the starter day one. That'll be something we'll continue to monitor all the way through August.
You do not need to reach for Russell Wilson in any draft. I did, because I ended up saving the majority of all my big boards for right down the stretch because I really wanted to be able to get into a rhythm. Dude, I got Russell for when I started early. I would get like George Pickens and then be able to capitalize, be able to get Freiermuth. I did 35 drafts within that last day, and Russell Wilson was falling big every single time. There was one draft where I got him with the last pick of the entire draft.
Kendrick Bourne, wide receiver for the Patriots, continues to slide 3 spots. He's down around 20. Tyler Boyd, looking for a home, round 17. He's sliding. He's down 21 spots since the big board started. Zach Ertz, he fell a few spots. He was still in the green throughout the big board, but still down around 19. Started falling back a few spots past week. Rico Dowdle, he's down 3 spots with more speculation the Cowboys could draft a running back. He's down in round 15.
Trey Benson, Blake Corum, one of those two. For the surplus of my bags,
okay.
That's who I need for my big board exposure, to land with in Dallas, and gosh, is there anything that I want to mention within this particular wrap up?
No, Zach Ertz. Thoughts here?
Tyler Boyd and Zeke, and you know, it's just like it ends up being like any other free agent where they, because there's not a lot, there's not no news that that is coming out about them, about what their landing spot is. They just end up getting lost in the shuffle. The market ends up avoiding them in total. And then we always see it. I mean, they end up signing somewhere, the free agents, and then you see their ADPs rise. Both these guys, though, it's not like I'm trying to chase that closing line value.
All right, so then the players who are not on this list but have fallen each of the past 5 days, big name to start, Josh Allen, down 2.2 over the past 5 days. Still QB1. You know, we already talked about this a little bit, the early round quarterbacks and the movement that we could see around them. You mentioned Josh Allen could move closer to Hurts. So here we are, he's still in round three, but you know, he's fallen quite a bit since the big board started. And again, past 5 days, down another 2.2 spots.
I'll be surprised if it ends up not being a pick'em between Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. And I won't be surprised when Jalen Hurts ends up actually being higher priced than Josh Allen.
Chase Brown, he's down 1.2 spots over the past 5 days. He's in round 11, RB 37. Darnell Mooney sliding a little bit after a huge rise through the big board. So he just a little bit of correction there, falling down a little bit. Maybe Atlanta grabs another receiver at some point in the draft.
Something huge to monitor, man. The Cincinnati Bengals, Josh, they don't draft the running back.
Yeah, that situation. It's going to be Zach Moss, Chase Brown.
That is a hot situation to target right out of the gates for Best Ball Mania. Pick your guy, or I mean, you don't want to pick your guy, you can just target that particular situation. I'm more of a Zach Moss guy. I'll be going that direction, but big situation to monitor within the draft for best ball because they're both underpriced if they don't end up bringing in a running back.
DeMarcus Robinson with the Rams, he's fallen a little bit. And now, you know, report today, Rams are trying to get into the top 10. I just saw so, and I know Josh Norris was saying he likes the idea of as a long shot, the Rams taking a round one wide receiver. So, you know, maybe the Tree Frog's making a move here.
The underdog guys took Xavier Worthy to be drafted by the Rams, which I think makes a lot of sense just with that pre-snap motion and Mike McDaniel, the ties with McVay and underneath the Shanahan tree. DeMarcus Robinson then just ends up becoming irrelevant if that ends up being the case.
Stephon Diggs down 1.1, still in round three here. Wide receiver 17 off the board. You know, we talked about the Texans receivers last episode and the movement around them. Jalen Hyatt, round 17, he's slipping a little bit. Devin Singletary, another giant, he's sliding a little bit as well. He's still in round 10, first giant off the board. Najee Harris, he's down a little bit over the past 5 days into round 8. RB 24 off the board is Najee Harris. And to round it out, Tyjae Spears down a spot the past 5 days. RB 35 off the board in round 10. Tyjae Spears down 32 spots since the big board started, you know, the Tony Pollard signing. I'm really hoping he just continues to fall because I think we even got some comments from their offensive coordinator or someone on the coaching staff that, you know, something about them being interchangeable. So I don't really believe that. Like, I think it's going to be Tony Pollard's going to be, you know, the clear lead bat, but I still think Tyjae Spears.
If I need a running back, I will just arbitrarily, when I'm in rooms and I need a running back within my particular build, whether it's zero RB or whether I've gotten a couple early running backs and Tyjae Spears has just fallen behind his ADP, then like Tyjae Spears, I'm not going out of my way to get shares right out of the gate. But as he falls and I need a running back within my particular construction, I'll arbitrarily just click him because I do believe in his talent and his individual upside in any given week. We definitely can interpret both Jalen Hyatt and Devin Singletary falling. I mean, that's just a reflection of this situation, man. Like, again, Devin Singletary, the first Giants player that's being drafted, and he's falling. It's this we can then reflect on whoever the wide receiver, if they end up drafting a wide receiver with their first pick. If it ends up being Neighbors, if it ends up being Odunze, I will be shocked if those wide receiver, whoever it is, doesn't end up falling. And, you know, again, that just being a reflection of the overexuberance for rookies very early on within big board. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, pick them within rooms. Like, I'm taking Najee Harris before Jalen Warren because I do believe in Najee Harris. And then when I need a running back and Najee Harris isn't there, I'm drafting Jalen Warren. So I'm drafting them both. But I won't be surprised, man, if we end up seeing Jalen Warren pass up Najee Harris within Best Ball Mania, just because we know that the best ball community overall is excited about Jalen Warren and his talent. So I won't be surprised if he ends up passing Najee Harris's ADP.
Yeah, just final thoughts, like going back to Tajay Spears and the Titans. I mean, they could be a big – I mean, they need receivers too. Like, I mean, I know they signed Calvin Ridley, obviously, but I could see them going receiver at 7 and just – you know, these teams with young quarterbacks, like, you got to surround them with weapons. And that's just, if they do that at number 7 tonight, you know, we'll see if you're listening tomorrow and the Titans take a receiver at 7. All of a sudden, the Titans offense looks kind of, you know, if Will Levis has anything to give, that's kind of an exciting situation. So,
yeah. And I've thought more about it. It's going to be a situation where I won't be like, I'm not going to be extremely bullish on the Tennessee Titans, but if we're to make comparisons year over year, it is similar to Seattle 2 years ago when Tyler Lockett was like within the 9th round and Seattle was priced down when Geno Smith had his big year. Mm-hmm. And then it's similar to Tampa Bay last year where both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin got priced to like that 6-7 range. So, I mean, you know, I don't feel great about Calvin Ridley within the 6th and DeAndre Hopkins within the 7th. But again, I mean, those are two, they have consistent production of history overall. And you look at that situation, if Will Levis can hit, and I mean, there's a lot of room to run for that particular opportunity. So I do see myself within some rooms just going that direction for the return that I can potentially see. Any other thoughts? If you don't have any, Josh, I'm going to just provide some closing Best Ball Mania thoughts.
Yeah, give them. Go ahead.
One, I don't know if I'll get another episode out potentially this weekend. Usually I do try to do that after the first couple of days, and then depending on when Best Ball Mania or Underdog announces when Best Ball Mania will launch, then I'll try to get something out expecting where the market could end up moving in particular directions based off where players have been drafted. But if that ends up not happening, I wanted to just be able to get out some just high-level thoughts. Best Ball Mania, go out there, get your stacks, specifically with quarterbacks. Don't be worried about quarterbacks ADP and if quarterbacks could potentially fall, like i.e. Dak Prescott, where we talked about Dak Prescott on that 7-8 turn. Don't be worried about Dak Prescott and the potential that he could end up falling to the 8-9 turn just to be because he's been falling. Take Dak Prescott with on that 6-7 turn, and then just so prioritize stacking, and then focus on value of other players. So really, it's you're drafting the one particular outcome, and that's that you're heading the right stacks, and then you're going for the super teams coupled with value tied to closing line within ADP. And then just understand that with zero RB, higher risk, higher reward. The earlier on within Best Ball Mania, just because we don't have the 100% clarity to who's going to be the RB2, say for certain handcuffs. So, you know, like Izzy Abonikanda can absolutely love him. They end up drafting a day 3, day 4 running back or whatever. Maybe it ends up not being Izzy Abonikanda. So, like, just have that understanding, that higher conviction of players later within builds, specifically running back handcuffs, it can be higher risk, higher reward earlier on. And other than that, man, those are two nuggets I wanted to be able to provide. And I'm rooting for every defensive player to be drafted by teams that I'm not trying to target within best ball.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to see Seattle draft anybody within the first round on defense. I want to see them draft an offensive lineman. I want to see – I just want pure chaos. I want Ayuk to be traded. I want T. Higgins to be traded. I want there end up to be landing spots that were completely unexpected. They're going to have just massive implications for ADP, and we're going to grind down every bit of the fucking detail, man. I'm this is what I live for.
Yeah, I mean, obviously always excited for the draft, but, I mean, I remember – feeling how I felt last year for the draft, but this year just
there is going to be
way more excited this year. It just feels like so many different ways like that top 10 could go.
Supposedly the best wide receiver class of the last decade. You're talking about potentially five quarterbacks being drafted within the first round. Yeah, there's going to be massive implications within the market overall. And I cannot wait to be able to grind down those implications, inverse movements, but within particular situations. Hearts will be broke for conviction that was had within big board and chaos. Let there just be an absurd amount of chaos within this draft.
Bring it on. All right, we'll be back next week to start sorting through that chaos. We'll talk to you then, Australia.